It is just a pleasure to be able to share the word with you today. We're starting a new series called Spiritual Disciplines for Spiritual Health. Now, when we think of the word discipline, be honest, what is one of the first things you think of? Maybe sometimes when we were disciplined by our parents, we think of that word discipline. We were disciplined by them. And something along those lines. But this word discipline actually means regimen, practice, training, raise up, nurture. That's what this word discipline, in the context of we're using it today, that's what it really means. And when we say the word habit, if you're like me, when I say the word habit, my mind immediately goes to bad habit, right? We think of something that's a bad habit. And do you know, but there are some good habits you can have in your life. There are some good, disciplines that you and I need in our life to have that spiritual health that we need in our life. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is writing to the church there, and he talks about it. He compares it to running a race. And he's telling the people that, everyone, they run to get a prize, first place. How many, anybody run track in here? You ran? Yeah, you run? Wow. Yeah, I did too when I was in school. I ran. Kathy, you did? Wow. Huh? I believe it. I really do. I didn't know how they. That's actually talking. Okay. I just didn't know they had track for people that short. But I didn't know. Maybe you did the high jump. Is that what you did? No hurdles. Okay. And also, but I ran track. And so I kind of connect with this passage of Scripture. Because Paul, he says in here, and he's talking to Christians, and he's applying it to their Christian life. And he says, run to win. And he goes on to say all athletes are disciplined in their training, right? They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it. And when he said that, we do it, what he's saying is that we should be disciplined as well in spiritual things is what he's talking about. He's talking about in spiritual things we should be disciplined. And he goes on to say, so I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. And jump over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, and the writer there are some people, the author of Hebrews, we're not certain who it is. There's a lot of folks that contributed to the Apostle Paul. And one of the reasons they do is because of this verse right here. Because it talks about running a race. Paul used it in his writings. He said it again talking to Timothy. He told Timothy, I've finished my race, And so he used that, he compared that, our Christian life to running a race, to being a runner. And in verse 1 in Hebrews 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us, have you ever seen anybody trip on a track? That is painful. Very painful. If you've ever fell on a track where someone is running, that can be, scraping the knees and all, those things are very painful. And Paul's like, listen, those sins that trip you up, they can be painful, all right? Or the writer here, and he says, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. So we're talking about spiritual disciplines for spiritual health, because we know if we're running a race, we need to be healthy. And then when I ran track, and back in those days, the ninth grade was in we called it the junior high. Anybody remember those days? It was junior high, and it was like, seventh, eighth, and ninth grade were in junior high in the school district I was a part of, and now the freshmen, of course, have moved up to the high school. But I ran track all through those days and progressively improved in running. But I had to, like the night before a track meet, I couldn't sit around and eat 10 bags of potato chips and drink 5 Cokes and expect to run a healthy race the next day, right? Because I had to take care of my body as well. I had to be physically fit to run that race. And that's what the writer is talking about here, is having those spiritual disciplines in our life for spiritual health. And then 3 John chapter 2, John writes in verse 2, he says this, Beloved, I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper. Anybody here that want to succeed and prosper in every way? Come on. Do you really want to? Amen? And be in good health physically, just as I know your soul prospers spiritually. And that's just from the Amplified Translation. And John is saying right here, you need to be healthy spiritually. You know, and spiritually, in our spirit, in our soul, when we're healthy, it affects every other part of our life. Vice versa, that when we're unhealthy, especially in our soul, in our emotions, our mind will, it just affects every other area of our life, even our spiritual life. And John is praying that Gaius' physical health will match his spiritual health, is what he's saying there, is that we need to be fit. We need to be healthy in our spirit. Spiritual disciplines for spiritual health. And Paul writes again, and these are just some foundational scriptures for the whole series that we're doing on this. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24, may God himself, the God who makes everything holy. Is that better? Okay, thank you. Who makes things holy and whole. That means complete. Spirit, soul, and body. We're triune beings. Just like the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Make you holy and whole. Put you together, spirit, soul, and body. And keep you fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. Somebody needs to hear that today. If he said it, he'll do it. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent, the Bible says. Whatever he's promised, he will do. And what messes me up about that whole thing, about the promise of God, is he never seems to want to do it on my time. But he will do it, the Bible says. And Paul is writing here saying that you be healthy, spirit, soul, and body. So spiritual health, spiritual disciplines for spiritual health. And some of us might think, and it's true, reading the Bible is a great habit to have, okay? And that's a wonderful spiritual discipline. Prayer daily is a wonderful spiritual discipline, all right? It's a really great spiritual discipline for you and me to have. Attending the house of God is a great spiritual discipline. But we're approaching it from a little bit different perspective, and you'll hear some of the other pastors in our church ministering and speaking from a different perspective than what you've known before about spiritual health. We're talking about spiritual health in this series. And so today I'm going to be talking about hearing God's voice for spiritual health. Because you and I need to hear God's voice to be spiritually healthy. We need to know his voice. And this may be the first time you're hearing something like this. I don't know a lot of your backgrounds. You know, there are some that teach that today we don't hear God's voice. But we do. You can hear God's voice in your life. In fact, I believe you need to hear God's voice to be spiritually healthy in your life, all right? And in Jeremiah 7:24, is hearing God's voice really that important? And he's talking about the children of Israel. In Jeremiah 7, he says, but my people would not listen to me. He said, they kept doing whatever they wanted, following the stubborn desires of their evil hearts. They went backward instead of forward. I mean, and it's just not just about hearing God's voice. It's about also obeying God when he speaks and obeying what he says to you. When they use that word listen, especially in the Old Testament, that's listening. That's hearing and obeying. When he says listen, that means hearing and obeying. And Jeremiah writes here, and he says, man, they wouldn't listen. To what God was saying, so they went backward instead of forward. Have you ever felt like in your life sometimes that you were taking 2 steps forward and 20 steps backward? But God is a God of moving forward in your life, of growth, of spiritual growth in your life. And part of that spiritual growth is hearing his voice, and I'm going to get into it in just a minute. But I need to stop right here where my notes are in this moment. And I need to share something with you it's not in my notes, that God has spoke to me Friday. I was out in my backyard. I was cleaning up, and we have three dogs, so you know what I was cleaning up in the backyard. And more than enough, because we were having some guests come over Friday evening. We were cooking some burgers on the grill and some sausage and stuff like that. And they had kids too. And so in case the kids went outside, we have chickens. Sometimes the kids like to go out and see the chickens and all that, play in the backyard with a dog and do all that kind of stuff. And so I'm out there cleaning and I'm working, getting things straightened out for the guests to come over. And the Lord begins to speak to me. I'm meditating on this message, on hearing his voice. And the Lord began to speak to me, and that I need to share this to you, with you, and whether it be a word of caution or a word of correction, you need to hear what the Lord was speaking to me. And because I asked him to I was going to go to the Word and confirm what he was saying to me, and I'll tell you in just a moment, I didn't have to go to the Word because the Word came to me in a moment. But here's the caution that I need to give you when it comes about hearing God's voice. The Lord began to speak to me while I was out there in the backyard working, is that there are many people that are putting his name on something he did not say. Yeah. And that we need to be very careful with that. To put God's name on something that he did not say. And a lot of people, and here's what will happen, and if you'll just allow me to pastor you through this real quick. A lot of people will put God's name on something just because they want their way. And they will say, well, God told me, when God didn't have anything to do with it. Just simply because they want their way. And God began to speak to me on that. And I knew it was, my first response to when I hear that is, okay, God, search my heart. Are you speaking just to me about this? And if you are, God, I need to repent. And you need to forgive me. Search my heart. But I felt like it was something I needed to share with the body. It's because there are people that have put a label on themselves that God did not put on them, like a prophet. And you can get on the internet and find a multitude of them. And a lot of them are saying things that God did not say. But because they want their way, people in church will do it too. Is they'll want something and then they'll put God's name on it to get it. And God just began to speak to me about that and about how unhealthy that is. And when you do that, you open a door for the enemy to come in. Because you are misrepresenting God. And what you're doing is using God's name in vain. We think God's name in vain is just connected to profanity. And you don't need to do it there either, okay? You know, when we talk about using God's name in vain, we think it's connected to a curse word. But using God's name in vain is also using God's name for what you want. Yeah. That's using God's name in vain. And so when I said the scripture came to me, I didn't tell anybody. I was just praying over it, meditating on it. The impression was so strong on my heart. And so yesterday we went to Nakona to watch our grandson play basketball. And on the way, Jeannie just starts talking to me. And she says, man, I was reading in the book of Jeremiah this morning. I was reading a chapter that she said where God was speaking through and saying that the prophets were using his name for their purpose. And when she began to share that with me, and that we needed to be very careful to not use the name of God for our own purposes, and when she began to share that with me, I didn't need to go any further for confirmation. What I knew right then was, because she didn't have any idea that God had said that, had told me that. And so she just began to talk about how we need to be so cautious and we need to be so careful, is that not to put God's name on something that we just want, that's not what he wants. And because when we do that, we open up a door. And that's just a word of caution to you and to me. And to whoever's listening to this message and whoever will listen to this message. Because we should never put the name of God on something that's just what we want. Never. Never. And sometimes we may do it innocently, not realizing it. Yeah, God's gracious and he's full of mercy. But when we're intentionally doing it because it's just something we want, my friend, we open up a door. It's very unhealthy in our life, in your life and in my life. Your life and my life, okay? And so you need to, I just wanted to share that with you with a word of caution as your pastor, is that you be very careful with that, because we're talking about hearing God's voice, because I believe you can hear God's voice. You can hear God's voice. You can hear His voice. You can hear His voice. I hear His voice. And we need that for spiritual health in our life, to hear the voice of God. In Isaiah 55, verses 2 through 3, the Bible says, "Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for the food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good." Well, I like that. "You will enjoy the finest food." Can you believe that God's got the finest food for you? I love that. "Come to me with your mouth wide open." Is that what that says? It says, "Come to me with your ears wide open." Why is God saying that? God is saying, "I want you to hear what I have to say." Why? Because He speaks to us. "Come to me with your ears wide open." Wow. You know what? I am probably one of the most uncoordinated person there is sometimes. You've heard that joke about people, you know, can't walk and chew gum at the same time. I can do that okay. But you know what gets me is when they're up here, the praise and worship team, and they're clapping, and before they sing, I can clap, man. I can go right along with the beat. But when they start singing and I try and start singing, I cannot sing and clap at the same time. It just drives me up the wall. I just miss the beat. I'm not coordinated in that area. And so most of the time, I either stop clapping or stop singing, one or the other. Then if I want to clap, I've got to stop singing, because I just totally mess it up. And I can tell, I know the praise team doesn't like it. That's why we don't have tambourines around here. And but it's just like, you know, and here's what that scripture's saying. If you're not coming to me with ears wide open, you're trying to talk to when I'm trying to talk. Have your kids ever tried to talk to you when you're trying to talk to them? Well, I saw me and my tiny again, you're like, you know. And so what we know is this, is that when our kids are talking while we're trying to talk to them, what they're not doing is listening. And so the Bible says, He said, "Come to me with ears wide open." Wow. "Listen and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David." Wow. See how valuable God's voice is. Does God really speak? Well, Job 33:14, "For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it." John 10:27, over in the New Testament, Jesus is talking, and He says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." So hearing God as a spiritual discipline, it's spiritually healthy. Why? Number one, you've got to believe that God is speaking. It's believing that God wants to speak to you. I mean, have you ever needed direction in your life? I know I love the Word of God, but have you ever really needed direction and you opened your Bible and what you needed wasn't there? What do I mean by that? The Bible doesn't tell you to marry Sue or Bill. It gives you guidelines for it, but it doesn't tell you to marry that specific person. If you're offered that job in another city and you're like, "Well, what am I going to do?" Well, God, you're not going to open the Bible and God's and it's going to say, "Yes, you need to move here to that specific city." There's other things that we need to hear God for. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of James, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask, and God will give him that wisdom liberally. How do you think you're going to get that wisdom when you ask? It could be something you open. He could lay a scripture on your heart. I've had that happen before. But it could be something that He just speaks to you. And we need to know His voice to be spiritually healthy. It's believing that He will speak to us. And in fact, the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 21, it says, "Your own ears will hear Him." Your own ears will hear Him. Right behind you, a voice will say, "This is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left." Any of you ever got off, you know, on the wrong road before? Well, I have, because I didn't listen. I don't know how many times God, there's so many times. And here's the part I don't like about it. Here's the part that I really, really don't like about it, okay? Is that God often uses my wife to be his voice. I mean, come on, God, I could hear. I know you husbands sometimes don't like that, but listen, what did God say in the creation of mankind? He said he was going to give Adam what? A helpmate. What is the Holy Spirit called? Our helper. Oftentimes, the voice of God comes through our spouse. Guys, wow. It comes through our spouse. And when he does it that way, but if he does it that way. But we need to believe God is speaking to us. And so what is one key way? I'm just going to give you one key way to learn the voice of God. You're sitting out there because sometimes we have multiple voices talking to us, okay? We have many things going over in our head sometimes. Not everything that comes into my head is God. Did you get that? Yeah, my wife said amen. Why was that so loud? I don't get that. I mean, right here in front of everybody, you know. But there's times that we have voices going. So how can I know it's God's voice? If you want to learn God's voice, the number one best way to learn God's voice is to learn the Bible. I'll give you that one under believing. It's to learn what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. I mean, something could be wrong in my life. Yes. It could be. Could be. What is wrong in my life? It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. You know what that tells me about God? That God doesn't have an ego problem. Is that he doesn't correct us just to be correcting us. God doesn't need to be in charge, but he is in charge. Because when he corrects me, he shows me the right way. It's because he loves me. But the quickest way, one of the quickest ways to learn the voice of God is to dive into the Word of God. Because it says all scripture is inspired by God. What does that mean? Is that it is God breathed, all right? The Bible doesn't just talk about God. It actually contains God. Wow. It's his breath embedded in his Word. Bill Johnson said something to Pastor Bethel Church in Reading. He said something a while back that just really has spoke to me is that the Bible is the only book that while you're reading it, the author shows up. Man, isn't that good? That is so good. And Bill's known for those little one-liners like that. They're just so profound and deep but simple. It's just that, I mean, the Bible is the only book that while you're reading it, the author shows up. My goodness, that's powerful. And if you want to learn his voice, when he shows up, he speaks. And if you want to learn his voice, you get into his word. You learn his word and you learn to hear his voice in your word. And there's some other ways that I'm not going to get into today. But it's believing. You believe that God's going to speak to you. If you're at a crossroads in your life, my friend, God wants you to know the path you need to take. God wants you to know the direction you need to take. And he may only give the first step. He may only say turn left and that's all he does, but you know to turn left. God doesn't want you, and I'm going to say something, God doesn't want you guessing. God wants you knowing his voice and following his voice in your life. Because number two, believing is also belonging. When we hear his voice, it's about knowing that we belong to his family. It's about us belonging. Romans 8:14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. How am I led by God's Spirit? I hear his voice. He leads me. It's an impression that he gives me sometimes. Sometimes, you know, some people have heard an audible voice of God that I can recall maybe one time, maybe twice in my life that I hear what was an audible voice of God. And the one time that I know was an audible voice of God, my knee shook because it was a corrective voice that he spoke to me. But most of the time, it's like impressions. Thursday, in my prayer time Thursday morning, I had this impression that just wouldn't go away, just kept coming, kept coming and coming. And it was about a person in our church. And I felt like I needed to go. I needed to talk. Actually, it was the impression was what I was hearing. I thought, well, man, do I need to go talk to them about this? I need to share this with them. And here's the coolest thing about it is they came in and talked to it about me. Talked to it. That impression I was getting first. Talked to me about it. And that was so cool. They came in the next day. And that impression that I had that I was going to meet with them. Sometimes that's the way God speaks to you. It's an impression, you know, that just, it doesn't go away. It's something that's there. And he wants you to know that. But part of that God speaking to you is knowing that you belong to his family when he speaks to you. You know that you belong to his family. Jesus said it this way in John 10 again, verses 2 through 4. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. That's talking about Jesus. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. I love this. He calls his own sheep by name. You see, he knows your name. He knows your name. He knows you. That's how close he wants to be to you. That's belonging to the family. Can't you imagine if I raised my kids like I didn't know their name? If every time I turned around, you know, and still every now and then, I call Jeannie Stacy, okay? Yeah, I mean, I just, I do that. Or I call Stacy Sarah, my sister, every now and then. But what if when I'm raising my kids, if I just never knew their name? Every time I looked at them, I'm like, what's your name again? Oh, I can, you know. How would they feel like I'm a dad? Would they feel like, you know, I'm a parent to them? Never. But Jesus, the Bible says, knows your name. Because you belong to family. You belong to family. Wow. It goes on to say here, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And he has gathered his own flock. He walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. Wow. You belong. Look at your neighbor and say, you belong. Somebody close by, say, you belong. You belong. Those of you watching, you belong, my friend. You belong to family. This morning, I shared with the first service, I was in the office, conference room / whatever room we use it for now. We use it for a lot of different stuff. But I was there. The door was open, and Diane Veal, she's in our first service. She come walking by, and I said, "Hey, Diane, you know." And she stopped and she looked around into the door, and I told her, "Man, it's so good to see you, Diane." And she's like, "This place is like home to me. You're my family." She said, "This is my family." And you know, that's part of our vision statement. We want people to experience family. And it just so touched my heart because she, even though, you know, our church has been growing and we've been seeing a lot of new people, we never want to lose that family atmosphere. And she just looked, she said, "This is my family." But you know, there was a two-part to that. We work hard to have family here, but she also said, "This is family." This is family. Why? There was a sense of belonging in her heart. And that's the way it is with the family of God, a sense of belonging. And when we hear his voice, it's because we belong. We're part of family. And there's so many times when, what we really need to hear sometimes is that comforting voice of God when we're struggling or when we're hurting. We hear that voice that says, "Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." Then we hear that voice because it gives us that sense of belonging. I hate to ask from the platform, Kathy, but can I share a little bit from the funeral? Like she's going to tell me no from up here, you know. In the funeral, Kathy's mom went to the funeral this last week, and then this so touched my heart when they played the video at the end of the funeral, because on that video was her mom. Speaking and talking, that voice. And that even though, you know, mom's in heaven now and all, that's something that she can go back to that voice. Well, Jeannie had a flip phone. You believe we still got a flip phone that we don't use. But Jeannie, it's a pink, little pink flip phone. Obviously, it's Jeannie's. And on that flip phone had been her, mom had left a voicemail. And she saved that, you know. And I don't know that she now goes back, listens as much, but she just said in there, "I love you, Jeannie," you know. Why? Because there's something about a voice that makes a difference in our life. It makes a difference in our life. And yesterday at that same basketball game, I don't know, are you, yeah, thank you, Timothy. Yesterday at that basketball game with our grandson, his aunts and other grandparents were sitting there in front of us, and Kendra was sitting in front of me, and Sandra was there as well, and Kendra's phone rang, and I think Sandra ended up answering the phone, but then she handed it to Kendra, and you could tell that Kendra was talking to Dayton, her husband, and they were in the first service today, and here's what Kendra said: "Well, you should recognize my voice." And they've been married almost around 2 years, you know. And what was she saying is, you know, we've been married long enough that you should recognize my voice. You should know it's me, you know, on the other end is what she was saying. And the deal was that Sandra said something. I guess her voice was very similar to her mom's. I'm not sure. There's times that I discern between Stacy and Jeannie's voice. Sometimes I have a hard time, you know, if I don't see the, what is it called again? Caller ID on the phone. You know, the name, I think, you know, because easily Stacy could grab Jeannie's phone and I would think it's Jeannie talking to me. But Kendra was like, "You should know my voice by now." And, you know, sometimes in a very gentle way, I wonder if God sometimes is saying to us who've been believers for a while, you know, you really should know my voice by now. You really should know my voice by now. You know, you've been doing this long enough. You really should know my voice. You recognize when I'm speaking to you. You know. Because why? It's part of belonging. Believing and belonging. I belong to family. God speaks to you and he speaks to me. Ephesians 2:19, "Now you are no longer strangers to God and foreigners to heaven, but you are members of God's very own family. Citizen of God's country, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian." My friend, when you hear his voice, it gives you that sense of belonging. I belong to something. I belong to his family, to the family of God, to the family of God. If you ever needed a word from God, and then he just showed up at the right time, and he shared something. And again, sometimes, and I'll get to this third point because it's connected to my third point, there are times the voice of God is through someone else. He's speaking to you. That's bringing confirmation of what you already know in your heart. And let me say this is what, anytime somebody speaks to you and says they have a word from God, it needs to confirm what God's already put in your heart. Okay? God needs to speak to you first. You never need to be, I'm going to say something here, you never need to be dependent upon somebody to hear the voice of God for you. You should hear the voice of God. And then whatever somebody says needs to confirm that, okay? It needs to confirm that in your life. And God wants to speak to you today because he wants you to know you belong. You're part of family. You're part of family. And the third point is becoming and hearing his voice and it being a spiritual discipline in our life. It's about becoming, about believing. About belonging, it's about becoming. And what are we talking about in that? Well, in Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 9, "It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. They were calling out to each other, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory.' Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, this is the prophet talking now. Then I said, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King. Let me stop right there. Notice that he saw the King before his lips were cleansed. Many people want their lips to be cleansed, if I could say it that way. They want their lips to be cleansed before they see the King, and we want it to happen in other people's lives. But my friends, you'll never be able to cleanse your lips, your life, yourself. You've got to see the King first. And then it takes place. Notice in this scripture, he said, I saw the King. I saw the King. That's when I recognized that my lips were unclean, when I saw the King. Wow. The Lord of heaven's armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. Wow. Then I heard the Lord's asking, whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? I said, here I am, send me. And he said, yes, go and say to this people. You can read the rest later if you would like. He said, go and say. What was happening here? Isaiah encountered the Lord, and he was then becoming who God had created him to be. When you encounter him and he touches your life, he empowers you to become who he's created you to be. And that was as Isaiah was having an encounter in his presence. And the Lord was speaking to him. Speaking to him. Because then when you become who he's created you to be, then you become his voice. Can you see? God was saying, whom can I send? Who will go for me? Let me just say this. Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. Because he works through us. And hearing his voice, it's about believing. You believe that you can, you belong. And then when you hear him and he speaks to you, you then become. He starts this process where you're becoming who he's created you to be. And as you're becoming who he's created you to be, you become his voice to this generation. You may never stand up here. Who knows? There might be some day that God calls you to do that. But you may never stand up here. It's not just about standing up here. It's about you being his voice on your job. It's about you representing him in your family. And it's about you going to your friends, your neighbor's house, and representing him, being his voice. You become who he's called you to be, whatever that might be. He might have called some of you to be an incredible housewife. Be his voice in that. He might have called you to be out in the workforce somewhere. Be his voice in that. Become who he's called you to be. You to be. And become his voice to that generation. It happened again to Jeremiah. In chapter 1 of the book of Jeremiah, God is speaking to him. And he tells Jeremiah, he said, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Before he was even born, Jeremiah was appointed. O sovereign Lord, I said, look what Jeremiah does. O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. Look at the next words by the Lord. The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young. What the Lord was saying is this, stop disqualifying yourself. Stop disqualifying yourself. Many times we'll look at our past, we'll look at the things that we've been through, the mistakes that we've made, we'll look at the people around us, all that's going on in our life, and we will disqualify ourselves. Jeremiah was like, I'm too young. And God said, stop saying that. Somebody needs to hear those words. Whatever you've been using to not become everything God called you to be, stop saying that. Stop saying that, my friend. Don't disqualify yourself. That's what God's telling Jeremiah. Don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. How is he going to know what God is telling him? Hear his voice. He's becoming the voice of God for his generation. For his generation. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and I will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I have put my words in your mouth. And God's words in your mouth are a very, very powerful thing, my friend. Your words in your mouth don't carry much weight. Okay? Your words in your mouth don't carry much weight. But God's word in your mouth carries weight. It's when you say carries his glory, carries his anointing. It destroys yokes of bondage, my friend. Then when you can walk into an area and you can speak what God's saying to you to others, it carries with it an anointing and a power that will affect the generation around you. Will you stand? And you stand with me. A couple of more passages, if you just allow me to read this while you're standing up. It won't take long. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul writes this. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Paul is writing and he says, this means that anyone who belongs, there's that word belongs to Christ has become a new person. Can you say amen? That you are a new creation when you belong to Christ. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. Look what Paul says. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. What is it saying? He's speaking through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God. Through Christ, Paul is saying, I have become God's voice, and now you need to become, as a new creation, you need to become God's voice in this generation. You need to believe it. You need to belong to family in whatever area God has called you to. You're becoming his voice, and you're speaking on behalf of God. And some of you, that weirds you out right now. You're like, me speak on behalf of God? Yes. Yes. Again, you don't have to stand up here to speak on behalf of God. Wherever it might be, you can speak on behalf of God and be his voice. But to do that, you've got to hear his voice and what he is saying. Last scripture, where did it all start for Paul? And his name was Saul when this happened. Where did it all start? Acts 9:3-6. And he was approaching Damascus on this mission. A light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? This is Jesus speaking. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice, everybody say the voice, replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now, get up. Go into the city, and you will be told what you must do there. What was happening in his life? He was having an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus was touching him. And Paul, evidently he believed it was Jesus, because you know why? He did what Jesus said. He got up from that place and went where he needed to go. And while he was in that place, scales were removed from his eyes. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, he was given his mission from God. He was given what he was. God was telling God, he said, you're going to become, you're becoming this, Paul. This is what you're going to become. A voice, my voice to the Gentiles. You're going to become my voice as you become more like me. And that's what he did. He knew he belonged to family at that time. And Paul, man, if you don't know the story of Paul, he went around, while we were reading just now, he went around persecuting the church. The early church in this newest, its earliest form. It was the new church. It was after Christ had ascended to the Father and God poured out His Spirit and the church is birthed. And Paul is going around at that time, Saul, persecuting them, trying to, he was killing Christians. And after Jesus touched him, I mean, it transformed his life, whoop, immediately. And he started becoming who Jesus is calling him to be. All because he heard a voice. All because he heard a voice. And the people in the church in that region, they were like, I mean, this guy, he's the one that was killing Christians. Should we, you know, they were afraid of him. They were afraid of him at that time. But what had happened? His life had been changed by hearing the voice of Jesus. And you just put yourself in their shoes. Here comes this guy that was killing people and these Christians, and he walks into their church. All of a sudden, he's preaching the gospel, and they're like, is this guy real? Or is he trying to set us up just to say we're Christians so he can kill us? And the Bible says, if you go and read it, the Bible says that they sent Paul away, and that after they sent Paul away, it was Saul at that time, after they sent him away, the church had peace. Because at that time, I mean, they were really troubled. But yet, what had happened in his life? He was becoming the voice of God. He was becoming God's voice. You and I can hear God's voice daily. We can hear it on a regular basis. You can hear God's voice, my friend. You can hear God's voice. You can. And I don't know what may be going on, what decision you need to make in your life right now. But you need to hear his voice. He will speak to you. Every head bowed. Nobody looking around. Father, I thank you for this message. I thank you again for the people that are here, God. I thank you for those that are in our family vision right now. And God, I ask you to, I thank you. I pray they feel a sense of belonging, Lord. And I pray for every person here, Lord, to just feel that sense of belonging and believe that they can hear your voice and that they're part of family, Lord. And God, I pray for every one of us to realize, God, that you have a purpose for us. You have a plan for us, God. And some of us may need to be reminded what that is. Some of us may have never discovered that, Lord. And God, I pray for every person to discover what you've put them on this planet to do, God. And Father, that starts by first knowing you, by surrendering our life to you. And so, Father, I just thank you for the people that are here in this room right now. I thank you that they're followers of Christ. And God, I just pray for every one of us, God, that we will know what you've called us to do. Some of us, Lord, we went through things. It's kind of, we've kind of got off track a little bit. But God, I pray that we will hear that voice to set us back on the place that we need to go, God, the direction we need to go with our life. And God, I pray that you will just stir our hearts to become your voice to this generation, Lord. To hear your voice, to become your voice, Lord. To become your voice. And you speak through us. And we just be as the Apostle Paul said, pleading with people, come back to God. Come back to God on behalf of Christ. Every head bowed. I just want to ask you, I look around in this congregation here, I don't know everyone here today. I don't know you, everyone personally. And so I just want to ask you, have you had that encounter with Jesus Christ? That encounter of which you surrendered your life to him? And those of you watching via our live stream, if you've never had that encounter, today is the day, my friend, that I believe with all of my heart the Holy Spirit is drawing you to Christ. And if you've never surrendered your life to him, you can do that today. The Bible says that if you will believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead and you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Why? It's not by our works we are saved, but it's by what Christ has already done for us, and we just have to put faith in him. And so I just want to ask now, for those especially that I don't know and those that are watching, do you know him? And if you don't, if you'll just lift your hand and say, Ken, I don't know Christ. And then put it right back down. Is there anyone in this sanctuary this morning? You Just lift your hand and put it back down. I don't want to pass up this opportunity. Anyone here today, I don't know him. Maybe you're here today, you say, Ken, I've kind of been disconnected from that voice. I haven't heard his voice in a while. And I need to reconnect with what he has for my life. You lift your hand. Anyone here, you just lift your hand and put it right back down. Anyone here, I need to reconnect with what God's called me to do in my life. I need to hear that voice. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Anyone else? Those of you at home, I'm going to pray for you. And after I pray for you, Ken's going to come up and he's going to just share a couple of things and dismiss you. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this day, God. Thank you for these people. Thank you for what's taking place at Encounter Church. Not just our church, but other churches in our city. And God, I ask you right now to help every person feel a sense of belonging. You are drawing people into family, that they will know that they are part of family, that they don't have to isolate themselves, that they are part of family, God. Your family, Lord. And I pray that they would hear your voice, that still small voice sometimes speaking to them. And that, God, they'll become everything that you call them to be, Lord, and become your voice to this generation in whatever area that you've called them, Father, to serve. They will become your voice. And, Father, I just pray these things in the mighty name.